content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, friends. This is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Kiplinger Personal Finance and continuing our readings from the book Money Hacks by Lisa Rowan. Our first article from Kiplinger Personal Finance, Prepare to Pay for Long-Term Care. Most people will need long-term care at some point, but insurance is pricey. Here's a guide to covering the expenses. Unless you maintain your health and mobility for the rest of your life, chances are you'll eventually need some form of long-term care. Government estimates suggest that as many as 70% of older adults develop a need for long-term services and support before they die. Yet most adults haven't taken any steps to prepare for it, according to a survey by the Kaiser Family Foundation. The numbers are daunting. The average cost of a private room in a nursing home exceeds $100,000 a year, according to the Genworth Cost of Care Survey. The cost of a home health aide averages more than $60,000. Medicare doesn't cover long-term care expenses, so many Americans are on their own to fund their care. The options include traditional long-term care insurance purchased on the private market or as an employee benefit, a hybrid insurance policy or annuity with a long-term care component, or self-funding care from your savings, or if you deplete your assets, you may qualify for Medicaid. If you can't adequately fund long-term care expenses, you may have to rely on your family for care, which could disrupt their lives and jeopardize their own financial security. Here we'll walk you through ways that you can cover the cost. Traditional insurance. Jesse Sloan, director of the American Association for Long-Term Care Insurance, or AALTCI, says the long-term care insurance market is suitable for a small percentage of consumers. An insurance trade association, LIMRA, estimates that just 3 to 4% of people age 50 and older have long-term care insurance. First, you have to apply at an age where you can get the insurance, says Sloan. You have to be in good health, and you have to have the financial wherewithal. You also, he says, have to be a person who plans ahead. A major deterrent is cost. Standalone long-term care insurance is expensive and difficult to get on the open market. Poor pricing decisions and inaccurate forecast of policyholder dropout rates, longevity, and need for care whittle down the number of insurers that offer new long-term care insurance policies. According to the AALTCI, just six companies now sell standalone policies: Mutual of Omaha, Trivet National Guardian Life, New York Life, Northwestern, and Bankers Life. If you want to buy long-term care insurance, getting a policy when you're in your 40s or early 50s can keep the premium down. The older you are when you apply, the more you'll pay for premiums, and the more likely you won't be able to buy insurance at all. An estimated 13.9% of people in their 50s are denied long-term care insurance, compared with nearly 45% of people in their 70s, according to the AALTCI. An insurance provider may require medical records and a home interview to assess your health. The AALTCI estimates that a 55-year-old man can expect to pay about $950 a year and a same-age woman about $1,500 annually for an initial policy benefit. That's the pot of money the policy will pay out, worth about $165,000. A man who purchases a policy of the same value at age 65 can expect to pay $1,700 yearly, and a 65-year-old woman would pay $2,700. For a larger benefit, premiums may run significantly higher. Over time, monthly premiums are likely to increase. One analysis of thousands of rate increases found the average long-term care insurance policy rate rose by 112% over about 25 years, although premiums may have risen less sharply in recent years as the companies that remain in the market have gotten better at pricing policies. If you buy a policy and find yourself unable to continue paying premiums, you could lose coverage or be forced to reduce the amount of coverage, even if you've been paying premiums for years. Retired pharmacist Marie Dropkin, age 64, can attest to the risk that a policy may become unaffordable. Now divorced, Dropkin, who lives near Scrooge Lake, New York, and her then-husband purchased long-term care insurance through Genworth Life Insurance more than 15 years ago when she was in her late 40s. The annual premium was about $3,500 a year for each of them for unlimited lifetime coverage. The policy was great, she says, because it covered so much. After about 10 years, the company increased their premiums to about $5,000 each, but I could still afford it, she says. She was given the choice between paying higher rates to keep the same benefits or paying less for reduced benefits. She decided to go with the higher rates. A few more years passed, and the rates increased to around $9,000 a year. By then, Dropkin's circumstances had changed, so she elected to stop paying premiums. The amount she has already paid will be available to cover long-term care when she needs it. The grand total, she says, is $68,534. Genworth has faced multiple class action lawsuits, contending that it failed to notify policyholders of its plans to increase rates substantially. Recently, Dropkin was notified that a lawsuit involving her policy had settled. She was sorting through her options. At first impression, she says, it looks as if there's no difference between the options, except with one, I get $1,250 back due to the lawsuit. The notice also refers to a potential rate increase of 143% and that the company had only a marginal ability to meet its obligations. Strategies to cut cost. Besides getting a policy at a younger age, there are other ways to reduce the cost of long-term care insurance. For example, according to the AALTCI, married people and even unmarried adults who live together may be offered discounts if they both purchase coverage. They would also look into buying a joint policy with a shared benefit, which allows them to pool their benefits. If one spouse exhausts his or her benefits, he or she can use the other spouse's share. Another strategy is to incorporate a longer elimination period into your coverage. This is a waiting period, often of about 30 to 90 days, during which you become eligible for coverage but pay the cost of care yourself, delaying the time before your insurance kicks in. A longer elimination period typically results in a lower annual premium. You could further limit costs by selecting coverage for a specific period instead of lifetime coverage. According to the AALTCI, a policy that pays for up to 5 years of care, for example, will cost between 16% and 27% less yearly than a policy with an unlimited lifetime benefit. And you might be able to get a discount as much as 8% if you agree to pay your premium once a year instead of monthly. The AALTCI offers more tips to reduce cost at AALTCI.org. Employer benefits. One option that might allow you to get long-term care insurance without undergoing a health assessment is to buy it through your workplace. A recent employer survey from the Society for Human Resource Management found that 20% of companies provide the option for employees, although it's unclear how many of the employers subsidize coverage. If you have a health issue or a family history that suggests you might eventually need long-term care, it might be easier to get a policy through your employer than on your own, Slum says. The policies are generally portable, which means you can keep them after you leave your job, though you'd have to continue paying the premium to maintain the coverage. And hybrid insurance. Colorado Insurance Commissioner Michael Conway, who chairs the Long-Term Care Insurance Committee of the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, says that as the number of companies offering traditional long-term care insurance has declined, more companies are incorporating long-term care coverage into other kinds of insurance policies. Primarily, this has taken the form of life insurance with a long-term care component. With these policies, if you need long-term care, you use some or all of the death benefit to pay for it. If you pass away without needing long-term care, your heirs receive the full death benefit. These policies tend to be more expensive than standalone long-term care insurance, but they're more widely available. And because life insurance rates depend heavily on interest-related investments by insurers, Slum says, rates actually went down this year. A 55-year-old male and female could expect to pay an estimated $3,540 and $3,265 a year, respectively, for a $165,000 policy benefit. Because they tend to live longer and need care longer, women pay more than men for standalone long-term care policies. But because they pay life insurance premiums longer, women pay less for life insurance, Slum says. According to LIMRA, consumers purchase more than 11 times more hybrid policies, 415,000, than standard policies, 37,000, in 2022, the most recent data available at press time. Although consumers spend $138 million on standalone policies in 2022, compared with more than a $4 billion for premiums spent on hybrid policies. Conway says consumers should talk to a financial advisor or insurance broker to determine which product best meets their needs. And the annuity option, another hybrid product, is an income annuity that includes a provision to increase your payout in the event you need long-term care. However, the payout may not cover the full cost of care, and the added cost of this provision, known as a rider, can reduce the standard payout from the annuity. The most recent LIMRA data for this from 2021 reflected a total of $462 million in sales involving 3,587 policies. Slum sees the annuity option as potentially more beneficial to retirees than hybrid life insurance because they can collect annuity payments while they're still alive, regardless of whether they need long-term care. In addition, it can be easier to get an annuity with a rider than a standalone long-term care policy because you are less likely to face stringent health requirements to qualify for coverage, Slum says. This is especially important because people often wait to explore long-term care financial planning until they have experienced a health scare. He says annuities are also easier to purchase at more advanced ages. Traditional long-term care insurance accepts new applicants up to age 75, he says, while annuities with long-term care riders accept applicants up to age 85. And self-insuring. Some retirees have sufficient assets to self-insure, meaning that they pay the cost of any needed long-term care out of pocket without relying on an insurance policy. When you self-insure, you're essentially betting that you won't require a prolonged stay in a nursing home. According to the Administration for Community Living, most people who go into a nursing home stay for less than 12 months. People are likely, however, to need some sort of in-home care. To self-insure, generally one should have anywhere from $300,000 to $700,000 in liquid cashable assets, Sloan says. This may include funds from your traditional and Roth IRAs, 401k plans, and taxable accounts. You can also factor in income from Social Security and a pension if you have one. The value of your home doesn't count as a liquid asset, although you may want to calculate how selling your home could boost your ability to pay for long-term care. If you've built substantial home equity, downsizing to a smaller home could free up significant cash. And if you end up moving into an assisted living or a nursing home, home sale proceeds could help cover the cost of care. Make sure to factor in future taxation of these assets as you plan to liquidate to pay long-term care bills, Sloan says. You'll have to account for income taxes on withdrawals from traditional 401ks and IRAs, for example. If you have a high-deductible health insurance plan, funding a health savings account is one way to save for long-term care expenses and minimize the tax bite. Contributions are pre-tax or tax-deductible if you open an HSA on your own. Your investment grows tax-free, and withdrawals aren't taxed if you use them for qualified medical expenses, including costs for long-term care. You can also use the HSA money tax-free to pay premiums for long-term care insurance. The amount you can withdraw annually depends on your age. For 2024, you can contribute up to $4,150 to an HSA if you have individual coverage, or $8,300 if you have family coverage. When deciding whether to self-insure, you should also think about whether you can stomach the high cost of footing the bills yourself, Sloan says. Are you willing to pay $30 an hour for a home health aide, or will you balk because you remember earning $30 a week in your first job? A final factor to consider is that you may end up relying on your family for care if your funds fall short, says Sloan. Long-term care in the U.S. is provided overwhelmingly by unpaid loved ones. According to the Department of Health and Human Services, the average lifetime value of unpaid care after age 50 among those who receive care is $168,000. Nearly one-fourth of care recipients receive unpaid care valued at $250,000 or more. Nancy Young, age 96, who formerly owned a laundry business and restaurant in Bloomingdale, Illinois, raised five children as a single mother after her husband died more than 45 years ago. Young's daughter, Mary Fuse, age 53, has been her mother's caregiver for 14 years. She is working with other family members to enable her mother, who has Alzheimer's disease, to remain in her townhome. Fuse says her mother fell last year and broke her hip. She has a medical bed where the dining room used to be, and said that she doesn't have to climb stairs to go to her bedroom. Fuse's siblings assist with her care as well. They have arranged for someone to go to the house to help during weekdays when siblings are working. A brother checks in at night, and a nephew sleeps in the home. Fuse goes to her mother's home when she can, preparing her mother's meals, pureeing her food, getting her supplies, and helping her with her bathing and hygiene. As long as we're able, we'd like to keep her at home, Fuse says. As much of an effort as it all is, Fuse says, it's not a hard decision because her mother cared for so many people. We're lucky we do have other people who will step up and help. A lot of people don't. And our next article from Kiplinger Personal Finance, virtual cards offer more security. A 2023 security.org study found that 65% of debit and credit card holders have had a fraudulent charge on their account at least once. One way to help protect your credit card information when you shop online is to use virtual credit cards. Certain issuers, including American Express, Citibank, and Capital One, allow customers with qualifying cards to use a virtual card number when making online purchases. By entering a randomly generated number that is connected to your card account, you avoid giving merchants your card's real number, which criminals may use to make fraudulent purchases if they intercept it in a data breach. The virtual number may be valid for a single purchase, or you may be able to use it more than once. The way you access and use virtual card numbers varies by issuer. Capital One provides virtual cards through its Eno Virtual Assistant, which you can install as an extension on various web browsers. To use a virtual card from American Express, you must link your card to your Google account. Then you can use your virtual cards every time you purchase items through the Google Chrome browser. Virtual cards have some limitations. If you want to return a product that you purchased with a virtual card, you may not be able to get a refund if you used a temporary number that is no longer valid, although you may be able to get store credit instead. And you're probably better off using your card's real number to make a hotel reservation, because you'll likely have to present your physical card to confirm your account information when you check in. And continuing our readings from the book Money Hacks by Lisa Rowan, these are 275 plus ways to decrease spending, increase savings, and make your money work for you. And we will continue our readings with Money Hack number 148. Take your address off your resume. You'd think listing your mailing address on your resume would be an obvious component, right? But if you're looking for a job outside of the region where you live right now, employers may skip you in favor of a local applicant. If you're applying to jobs far from home, you have two options to make sure your resume doesn't get lost in the shuffle. Don't put a location on your resume at all. You might include the location of your previous roles, but don't stick your mailing address at the top. It'll only draw attention to it. And list your address as, quote, relocating to New York City, or whatever city the company is located in, but only if you truly intend to move there. And Money Hack 149, build your public portfolio. You can't rely on a well-written resume to get you a job these days. You need to be easy to find online. Specifically, you'll need digital proof that you're progressing in your career. The easiest way to do this is to set up an account on LinkedIn. Include details about your current and past jobs, but don't forget to list your accomplishments instead of just your usual duties. It's easy to upload or link to examples of your work within your LinkedIn profile. If your work isn't visual, describe the challenges and tasks along with your results under each role. If your work would benefit from a separate portfolio outside of LinkedIn, it's easy to set one up on a simple website through WordPress, Squarespace, or Wix. All have free options and have templates you can choose to show off your designs or other samples of your work. Money Hack number 150. Use every vacation day. Do you use all of your vacation days your employer offers? If you don't, you're not alone. A Bankrate survey found that only 28% of people use every single day of their available paid time off. Even if you can't afford to take a lavish vacation or go away at all, you should still be sure to take all your vacation days each and every year. This rule applies especially for people who can't roll over their days into the following year or get paid or for unused vacation time if you leave your job. If your paid time off or PTO is use it or lose it, not using it means you're essentially working for free. Even if you love your job, at the very least, schedule some staycation time for yourself to enjoy the sights near your town, or even just hang out at home with a good book or your favorite hobby. You deserve it. Hack 151. Learn a skill you can sell. Ever think to yourself, if only I knew how to do this one extra thing, I could get a promotion? As you get settled into your career, you might wonder how you can keep growing your skill set. Continuing education can be a big part of that advancement. It doesn't have to cost a lot of money to pick up additional skills that can enhance your value. Your company might offer access to courses through Lynda, which is becoming LinkedIn Learning, Skillshare, or another online learning platform. Some libraries even offer free subscriptions to the classes on these platforms, although you may need to visit your local branch to access them. You can also investigate classes offerings at your local community college, or sign up for a free online class called a MOOC, which stands for Massive Open Online Course, offered by a top-name university. There might even be a club of enthusiasts who offer free or inexpensive classes and workshops in your area, whether you want to learn how to code websites or practice a language. Learning about a new aspect of your industry or a skill you can apply to your daily work not only gives you a boost of confidence, it also looks great on your resume when it's time to apply for a job or promotion. Or you may find that your newly honed skills help you sell the products or services you offer in your side hustle. Either way, you'll be putting your best foot forward and showing your value while you stretch your brain a bit. Money hack number 152. Get credentials in your field. Want to level up your career beyond a particular skill? Consider earning credentials for your industry or type of work. An advanced degree could propel your career to new heights, but so can earning licenses or certifications. They can help you earn more in your career, and the best part is your boss might even cover the tab. Well, we're out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. Thank you for joining us. And until next time, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call, 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.